Milwaukee Brewers hitting coach Andy Haynes. Hey, good morning, Andy.
Thanks for joining us, Andy. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. We have an off day, and there's a parade starting in a little bit, so I'm kind of in lockdown here at my hotel.
Yeah, I mean, how about that, man? I mean, you know, I've seen in other cities where, you know, when there's multiple pro teams in one city, the other teams kind of get behind the team that's closing in on a championship. How much did you guys and your players get caught up in what the Bucks did?
I mean, we were as close to as you could get, you know. I mean, I know a lot of players got to go. That's above my pay grade. game six tickets. But, you know, in counts, our manager, he's as invested in Milwaukee sports as anyone. You know, he grew up there, so you can really see the pride he has in it, just for the city. And to see it up close, and, you know, I stay downtown, and I'm, you know, I can walk to the forum there where they play. So just to see that Deer District and you know, how special it is to an entire city kind of brings it up close.
Well, your game Tuesday, you moved it up to an afternoon game because the game six was that night.
We did, and, you know, we were thankful Kansas City had to agree to that, but it just made sense, you know, from a logistics standpoint for them also, getting back to their hotel. I mean, you know, we would have won that game, you know, game six, the Bucks, and then the Royals trying to get downtown at a hotel wouldn't have been very, very convenient. So, yeah, it was awesome. The city did that, and everyone agreed. And, you know, like I said, there was a ton of our players got to go see it, too.
Andy Haynes, he is the hitting coach for the first place Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, he likes saying that, Andy. I'm sure you like hearing it,
too. It's got a nice ring to it.
No doubt. I mean, I'll take it, believe me, but I kind of always say you got to stay underwater, man. You can't be looking at the standings too closely yet. There's just a long way to go, but, you know, we've done a lot of things, man. We have not hit our stride either. I don't think we've played even close to the best we can play. We have not clicked offensively. We've shown in spurts we can score some runs, but, you know, our pitching's carried us. And I think once we get some guys just kind of clicking a little bit offensively and stay healthy, it could be exciting how we play here the rest of the way.
Well, no doubt the pitching, you know, with Corbin Burns, certainly Brandon Woodruff, Mississippi State guy, and Freddie Peralta, who has just exploded onto the scene this year. Then, you know, your setup man, the eighth, Devin Williams, I know he's on the DL right now. And then obviously with Hader, as strong as that staff is, the hitting comes around, and I know that's where you're, you know, that's your expertise. This team's set for a good run, and you know, this is sort of where it's been building. Let me back it up. You mentioned Craig Counsell, Milwaukee guy. His father worked in the front office for the Brewers. Mm-hmm. He got to finish his career there. The perfect manager for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk for a while about Counts and, you know, how special he is. He's just a great leader, and it's really unique just how invested he is in that organization, in the city, and, you know, it's who he is. You know, he's a Milwaukee guy. He's a Wisconsin sports guy, and to see how invested he is, and he's just a great leader. I mean, he could, you know, he's kind of a rock star among managers for me. He can do it all, and, you know, no one better.
Well, and it starts at the top. Your owner, Marcus Anastasio, gives you what you need. David Stearns, sharp. When, you know, what was he, 32, I believe, when he was hired? I think he's 36 now. It just seems like the train's on the track.
And being a smaller market team, Andy, in a league with no salary cap, you got to have smart people, you know, pulling the strings.
You know, I say that sometimes. I say that I think the size of the market and you know, the Cubs being our division, you know, 90 minutes south of us, and just, you know, the job they've done is remarkable. When David took over that job, you know, I was actually with the Cubs, ironically, and, you know, how that franchise was not in limbo, but you kind of wondered, are they going to rebuild and kind of tear it down? How are they going to do it? And David and his group of guys in the front office and Mark, you know, they don't get enough credit how quickly they turned the Brewers into what we are now, giving us a chance to compete at the level we're competing at. So It is. It's remarkable. I don't think it gets talked about enough with our ownership and front office, and then it trickles down to counts, and then, you know, it's a player's game. We all know that. But how those guys have orchestrated this and the depth we have is pretty neat to be a part of it.
Andy, what is the challenge for an MLB hitting coach these days? Because it seems like the analytics have taken over. It's about exit velo, uppercut, swing for the fences. You know, back in our day, it was like, you know, put the ball in play. You know, singles are fine. Doubles are great. You know, how much has the dynamic of hitting changed in MLB, and how hard is it for a hitting coach to deal with that?
You know, I think the information that's out there and how front offices operate, the amount of people involved in the operation has changed. You know, I don't think, you know, coaching is coaching and it's teaching. And, you know, the offensive side of the game has always been so challenging. And I think the information we have is there's just a lot more of it. And I think some of it's a little overstated. Mm-hmm. You know, some of those catchphrases get worn out, like launch angle and all the metrics and all that. I mean, those are results. That's how you measure things. That's not how you get to that result. So it's just more giving you information of you know, what is really happening. And, you know, to answer your question, I almost said, do you have a couple hours? Yeah. I'm a major league hitting coach. But, I have to say you're just dealing with something that is insanely difficult. And it's painfully slow to get to success, and the way of the world and how hitting works, they don't coincide at all. They just don't, man. And it's going to take a long time to have a good season. And you know, a guy goes 1-for-3 with a walk and looks bad twice. Yeah, you know, he gets beat up a little bit on social media, and we score 4 runs. Everybody thinks we stink, and it's like, hey, man, that's kind of how offense works. Like, it's not easy. And if you do that and go 1-for-3 every night, you're the best player in the league. And it's really difficult and messy how you get there. So, you know, there's just some noise and some clutter, I call it, and trying to keep the guys, like, in a positive state of mind and something that just kind of pummels them, you know? I mean, all the cliches about the failure of you know, what hitters go through to get to success, you know, the percentages are against them. I'll say this, to go on a tangent. You know, I was in the minor leagues a long time. You know, Greg knows I started as a grunt, man. I coached at every level, and going through the game, people ask me about the big leagues. And 18 was my first year full-time as a major league coach. I said, you know, the pitching's the pitching. There's great arms, but there's great arms in the minor leagues. I said, it's the defense that will wow you every night. I said, that's the separator for me. You know, just how they play you right where you hit the baseball. Such good athletes all over the field, and you know, you have a great at bat, and there just seems like there's 12 guys out there sometimes. that's something really stands out to me. It's a separator, man. You watch a big league game, the defense played, it's, you appreciate it a lot.
Brewers hitting coach Andy Haynes with us. Now, he's one of us. Mm-hmm. Got his master's degree at MTSU. Started there, spent 3 years with Steve Peterson, the late Steve Peterson. Just everybody loved Coach Pete. Jim McGuire, our buddy, just got the former coach there, just got the volunteer state coaching job. I met Andy. You were the manager of the Zephyrs, and I went to the Sounds game with Jim and Pete while he was still alive, and got to meet you down on the thing, and little did I know you'd be the hitting coach of my Brewers later on, and instead of being the Cubs minor league hitting instructor. But it just your days there at MTSU, I understand you met your wife there, so certainly this is home, right?
It is, man. We live in Spring Hill in the off season. Yeah. We bought a house with three kids. I met my wife at MTSU, and sounds surreal for you to say the late Steve Peterson.
Yes.
Kind of set you back, doesn't seem real. I mean, God bless Coach Pete, man. There's not a day goes by that I don't think of him or something he said. Just a brilliant, brilliant mind and a great, you know, mentor for me. And Coach McGuire the same. I mean, Mags, we call him a special guy, man. He's invested in me, and I appreciate him greatly, and we stay in touch. And, I was pumped for him. I know the last couple of years he's he's done the youth baseball thing and been okay, but we all know where he belongs in the dugout. So, yeah, MTSU is special, man. It's a special place to me. And I tell people about Nashville, I said, once you go there, you're not going to leave, man. It's a great place. So, yeah, I love calling it home. And now,
yeah,
speaking of the sounds, we back to being the Brewers AAA affiliate, which is what it should be. That's pretty awesome.
How does that work with your interaction? You're the hitting coach for the Brewers, but then certainly, how do you get your reports on what who's doing what, who might be ready, who needs to do what at the lower levels?
It's just communication with the AAA hitting coach. I mean, you know, we stay in contact. Every time a guy comes up or goes down, we talk, and then, you know, Al LaBeouf is the sounds hitting coach. He's been around and in spring training, you're around him, so it's just constant communication, so the player hears kind of the same message and everybody's on the same page of what needs to happen. And, you know, that's a big reason we've been able to do what we do is because of that Nashville Sounds roster. I mean, we've set a record, I think, for transactions. And, you know, that staff and those players have been a huge part of what we've been doing here in Milwaukee.
Andy, would you like to see MLB outlaw the shift and play your guys more straight up, or are you okay with it?
That's a great question, man. If you ask me in the middle of the game, I'm just not a big advocate of messing with strategy in the game. I'm just not. I think the game should be able to correct itself, and, you know, it's not doing that at this point. But I'm just not an advocate of strategy of the game. I'm just not. So I think it's coming. You know, there's too many rumblings about it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's you know, every infielder has to be on the dirt. You know, you can't play in the grass, or it's two guys on each side of the base. I'm more of, if you're an infielder, you got to play on the dirt. You can play wherever you want. You know, I think it's tough for a left-handed hitter when he hits a line drive to right field and the second baseman's out there on the grass and catches it. That's pretty tough.
Sounds like a hitting coach, yeah, right there. What about the runner at second base in extra innings? I hate that, by the way.
Yeah,
you know what? So in 2014, I managed in the Fall League, and they didn't have that rule, but we had something similar where I think the game can only go 11 innings. And I'll tell you, I think the rule is much better than I thought it was going to be, and I'll tell you why. Because in extra innings, what happens before this rule is, you see both teams press, try to do too much, and there's zeros on the board. Both teams can't score until the 14th, 15th. Games just go on. There's not much action. And what I love about the new rule is, you know, you get rewarded for execution on both sides of the ball. Offensively, you've got to try to get the guy in. Defensively, you're trying to prevent that run from scoring. So in both halves of the inning, there is this action. It's fair. Both teams have to execute. You know, and I tell you what else it does. If you watch the games, the managers can use all your players earlier. Mm. You're not saving guys. So you see urgency from the managers early in the game. They don't save players in case something were to happen because they know the game's not going to go past usually 11, 12 innings at the most. So I'm a fan of that rule. I am, believe it or not, because I think it, you know, maybe they could wait till the 11th inning to do it.
Yeah.
Instead of the 10th. You know, give one more inning, something like that, and adjust it. But I think that the fact that it forces action and execution, I think I'm a pretty big fan of.
DH in the National League, yay or nay?
No chance. I hate it. No chance. I mean, I'm getting old quick, man. I think people that don't study the game, I think purists understand it, that the strategy of the National League game is underrated. I mean,
it really is. Majors. You're right.
So many maybes for a manager when that pitcher spot's coming up on both sides. I mean, your bullpen, their bench, your bench. There are maybes from the fifth inning on, you know, maybe double switch. Can you hear? I love the strategy of National League game. And, you know, they tell us they want a quicker game, pace of play. And I said, watch those American League East games, 4.5 hours at the DH. So, you know, I think once you get rid of it, it's gone forever, too. So, believe me, I love the strategy of those National League games, man.
Younger brother Kyle, director of player development for the San Francisco Giants. Is that right?
That is, man. He's doing great things there. He's you know, he's a giant. He believes it, man. He was drafted by them, played a long time. He was kind of with that group that won some World Series, and he got close. He was kind of right there, knocking on the doorstep, never made it. Got an injury, and then they hired him. He managed a couple of years, and you know, he's doing great things. He's in charge of a lot of things in their farm system, and I still think he'll be a major league coach soon or a manager, to be honest. But right now, he's doing the front office role, and I used to joke with him, tell him he's wearing khakis and drinking coffee. You know what I mean?
Well, the Giants have been maybe the surprise team of all of baseball this year, you know. So,
no doubt,
Andy, I could sit here and talk all day. I wore my Brewers shirt today, by the way.
Yeah, even washed it today too,
yeah,
Andy.
So, got a big Brewers fan here. I've my Nashville outpost. So,
well, tell McGuire, you guys come down and see a game somewhere. I always tell him, but he gets busy. He likes being busy, but tell him you guys come see us somewhere. So.
Flag that tape. Okay. Andy, thanks for doing this. We'll catch up with you from time to time, you know, and maybe there's another parade in Milwaukee later this year.
You said it.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome, guys. Thanks for having me.
Right. Really great talking to you, Andy. Thank you so much.
Yep. See you guys.
All right.
Andy Haynes, the hitting coach for the Milwaukee Brewers. And as he mentioned,